Good morning, church. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. First of all, I want to thank the pastoral team for this opportunity to share the word of the Lord. One of the biggest challenges, no matter how many times you go on the stage, when you see the number of crowds, the stage fright also increases. So the best way to calm this is to look upon the Lord and let's give this time to the Lord. So join me, friends, in praying. Father, we just want to thank you. We just want to remember that you are our Lord, you are our God. Thank you for this time that you've given us where we can know you. And what is it that the message that you have for us today? Hide me behind the cross. Let every word that comes from my mouth be pleasing to you. Let this time belong to you and to you alone, that you will put in our hearts what is it that you want us to do for you. In Jesus' name we pray and ask. Amen. Right, friends, today I'm going to talk about generation, continuation from what Pastor Sean shared. And my role is to share on experienced generation. So when you look at me, I think you can guess why I was given experienced generation. I'm not young as Pastor Sean. Yeah, maybe I introduce a little bit of ourselves first to help understand who we are and where we come from. So maybe quick one. This is my family. There's four of us. My wife is sitting there. Timothy's at home today. He was with the teens yesterday. Abigail is across the road in the kids' church at the moment. If you look at the right-hand side of the picture, that's our family, LG, in Cyberjaya. We have easily about 10 over families. God has been really good to us, and he has brought in quite a lot of new families in Cyberjaya. As a result, somewhere last month, in April, we have actually decided to split the family LG to two. And we want to continue to honor God and continue to pray that the Lord will lead the LGs to continue to grow. Now, our spiritual family, we worship in Cyberjaya. We do worship in evening service in Puchong as well. And in Cyberjaya, these pictures may not do justice. We are at about 70 over people worshiping every Sunday evening in Deepals at 4:30 p.m. So for those of us on Sunday, right, if you're not sure what to do, you want to occupy yourself, come and join us in Cyberjaya. One thing I assure you, when you join us in Cyberjaya, you'll be amazed to see 9 to 10 different nationalities worshiping together to honor God. So that's an amazing experience. So do join us if you have time, and I'm sure you'll find it will be a blessed time as you join us. So going into today's sharing, right, why do we want to think generational? Now, if you look at from God's perspective, when God spoke to Moses, he introduced himself as a God of generation. I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And when we look at history itself, the Lord says he will write the history or through the generation and it will be passed on his mighty acts. So we look at the Bible, right? It tells us the history of Israel. It tells the gospel. And then even if you look at our own history today, right, we can look at so many people that the Lord has used to influence our own histories. You can talk about John Newton or Abraham Lincoln or even Hudson Taylor or William Carey or even our uncles, aunties, father, mother, grandfather who may not be in the history book, but they definitely have influences. I'm sure all of us sitting here one way or another way, even Pastor Tim, yeah, he has influence in different ways. So it's very critical for us to understand the Lord thinks generational. Henceforth, his gospel, his message, the true meaning of living for him, it always be handed down generation to generation. Now, if we come to church, right, every nation, why every nation we want to think generation? Now, like what Pastor Jason shared, you can see the spread of generation. It's amazing, 60 plus all the way up to a toddler. So as a result, if we want this church to continue to honor God and go out and make disciples, we need to learn to work together across this generation. Now, two thoughts come to me. One is something that we call constructive interference. If you those who enjoy physics, when you have two waves, if they come together at the right time, the wave becomes big. So that's a way to look at how we bring different generations to work together. One of my favorite terms that P. Ramlee used is irama dan lagu. So if you look at us, different generations, if we don't come together and have a heartbeat or a drumbeat, it will be difficult to grow. So if we want to grow together and we want to be united in God's mission, we need to learn to work together, live together, and change the world together. All the more, we need to think generational. This is just a little bit of a recap. Now, Pastor Sean shared last week on emerging generation, and he used David as a young guy from a shepherd thrown to lead. You know, he went after Goliath, he thrown to lead a group of warriors, this and that, as a young emerging leader. So throughout that journey until he became king and he rested and he returned back to the Lord, if you look at it as an emerging generation, what we can pick out, yeah, is being faithful with the little things, be strong and courageous, and be honoring the experienced generation. This is something that Pastor Sean left with us last week to think what we can, as an emerging generation, learn from King David. Today, we will continue to learn about King David and his life as an experienced leader. But before that, maybe we should ask ourselves this question. Who is an experienced generation? Now, if I look at me personally, and if I look at my walk with God, how I say things have changed for me as experienced generation is maybe from a student going into uni, going into work life, and becoming a father. Then from a father working in an organization to leading an organization. And, you know, being called to build LGs, being called to build church buildings, being called to put different forms of expectation or different forms of necessary, if you may, working with people, building teams, this and that. I'm sure when we look at each of us, our experience journey might be a little bit different. Now, I would like to think how we look at it is every generation has something to give to the younger generation. For instance, a teen may be able to tell a preteen, this is what I journeyed as a preteen. Or similarly, student, working adult to a student, a father to a young married couple, father, mother to a young married couple, and similarly. So the generational continues, and the experience that we get as a generation, we continue to grow in it. So maybe also some quirks that would have happened in our life to remind us that we are an experienced generation. For me, some very funny experience that I had is when I used to go to these shops, right, where they used to call me abang, now they call me uncle. Maybe it's my white hair, you know, maybe the hair that's missing. And last couple of months, when we went to one of the shops as a family, suddenly the shop assistant said, I have 3 children. Then I look around and they address my wife as my eldest daughter. So maybe I've done a good job looking after my wife. That's what my wife tells me after that. Yeah. Another one of this very funny that story that always stuck with me is one that my friend told me. His strength is in government engagement, and he was hired by an organization to do government engagement. And the entire organization is all millennials. So imagine they come to T-shirt in jeans, slippers, T-shirt, shorts, this and that. Their role is to set up the background system or the background apps that run the entire services. So one fine day, he had to go into the government office. And you know those days, government office, you have to wear a full suit with a tie. You cannot avoid that. So he went to the government office with a full suit tie, and he returned back to the office with a full suit and tie. So he said before this, to get, you know, to work with them, he just wears the jeans and the T-shirt. So the first time they saw him in a suit, most of the young ones there went, uncle, uncle, which wedding did you go to? Yeah. So it's when we look at the generational, right, the way we look at life, the way we look at things is very different, even sometimes as simple as dress codes. Yeah. So today, allow me to take us on a sharing on David as an experienced generation. Friends, most of what I'm sharing today is taken from 1 Kings chapter 1, and is also taken from 1 Chronicles 22, 28 and 29. So my ask is for us to get the full breadth of an experienced leader as our experienced generation in David. I do encourage in your time, please take time to look at these passages and these chapters. They are amazing stories. And even if you read 1 Kings 10 and you go behind to 2 Samuel 12, I believe, you'll see how God has ordained a lot of things much earlier for what was going to happen in the last days of King David. Now, allow me to share this Bible verse. Allow me to read this. Now, my son, the Lord be with you, so that you may succeed in building the house of the Lord your God, as he has spoken concerning you. Only may the Lord grant you discretion and understanding, that when he gives you charge over Israel, you may keep the law of the Lord your God. Then you will prosper if you are careful to observe the statutes and the rules that the Lord commanded Moses for Israel. Be strong and courageous. Fear not, do not be dismayed. This is from 1 Chronicles 22:11-13, when David spoke to Solomon. Now, if you look at an experienced generation talking to an emerging generation, if you may, take David's conversation. It's full of positive reinforcement. It's full of prayer. It's full of guiding him to the Lord. So today, friends, what I like to do is I like to draw from David as an experienced generation what we ourselves can add as an experienced generation in our church, in our society, in our marketplace, and everything. So please follow me on this. First one that I want to look at is, if you look at David, right, he took time to equip Solomon to be his successor. So what did he do? Some of the interesting things that I found while I was preparing this, or what God put in my heart that I found very interesting, is if you look at 1 Chronicles 22, verse 7 to 10, and 1 Chronicles 28, verses 4 to 7, just let me read a little bit of an excerpt from here. Verse 8, it says, "But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, what David have cannot be the one who built the temple, but his son Solomon will be the one who builds the temple." And also, when you look at 1 Chronicles 28, verse 4 to 7, verse 6, it says, "He said to me, it is Solomon, your son, who shall build my house and my courts." So when we look at this, right, what I found is amazing is David was willing to share what God put in his heart, the words that the Lord put in his heart to his son Solomon. So today, friends, one of the challenges we have, I'm sure in our walk, in our prayer, in our reading of the word, in our elders, when we talk, when we discuss the word of the Lord, when we discuss even the questionnaires that comes after every Sunday, I'm sure the Lord would put some word in our hearts regarding someone or regarding a younger generation. The challenge to us is, are we willing to share that word with that person to equip that person? I think that's what David is trying to challenge us today. Are we willing to share the word that the Lord put in our hearts to the younger generation? Second one, this is something that I really like. Reinforcement of God's promises and coaching. So if you look at throughout this story, right, more than three times, David spoke to Solomon, "Be strong and courageous. The Lord, obey the Lord, follow the word of the Lord, and make sure that you do not go to the left or to the right." So friends, when we look at this, right, when we look at how David reinforced his son Solomon, it's the same challenge today we have. Now, one of the things that when I was growing up as an emerging generation, you know, to the generations that I worked in, or maybe even to the bosses that I worked in, they give you a little bit, then they reinforce. They give you a little bit, they reinforce. What I like about David, what he did with Solomon, he really looked at positive reinforcement. 3,000 years ago, he really looked at positive reinforcement for his son. And here, sometimes, you know, we do start the conversation looking at the negative rather than the positive. So these are some interesting things for us to look at, how we can actually equip the emerging generation. Last one, he provided. And he provided sufficiency for Solomon to build the temple, be it steel, be it gold, be it metals, be it cloth, linen, this and that he provided. And he also provided the workers. We may not be in a situation to do all those at this time, but there's one thing we definitely can do, our time. And I think today, one of our biggest challenge and the most valuable asset that we find sometimes is difficult to give is time. And friends, this is something that I think through this passage, David and the Lord is challenging us. Are we willing to give our time, to provide that time for the younger emerging generation. Now, my own experience, when we were in Cyberjaya, Pastor Agape actually asked me to disciple a group of young working adult men to help them to transition into leadership roles in church, this and that. So I really find that challenging, not only for me, but also as a team, as we work together, we agreed to learn to lead like Jesus, how to learn to lead like a servant leader. So it's a discovery process. And also it gives me a chance to also share how God has worked through me, through my testimonies, and also to hear how, what they need and what are the challenges they have and how we can help them. So friends, I think for those of us who have plenty of experience, be generous to share the experience. That's one of the things, how we can equip the emerging generation. Second one, empowering. Now, I thought this is really amazing, because if you look at current situation, we still see a lot of struggle for people to empower. Find it very difficult to let go, be it in our own maybe workplaces, or even if we see sometimes in countries where we see the older generation or the experienced generation refusing to let go some of the roles to the younger generation. I thought one of the most interesting thing that happened of late globally is how the Prime Minister of Singapore did a transition to empower his next generation to take over. So when we look at David, right, what I thought was amazing was how he passed on the leadership baton. Yeah, it was amazing that he passed on the leadership baton. 3,000 years ago, this happened before he died. So he actually passed the leadership baton. He made sure Solomon was anointed while he was alive, that he was the king. And not once, twice. Once was with a smaller group. One was before the entire, the second time in front of the entire congregation or entire people of Israel. And that is to affirm that he is taking over from him. And it's amazing. So if you look at 1 Chronicles 28:8, allow me to quickly just read this verse. Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord, and the hearing of our God, observe and seek out all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance to your children after you forever. This is the empowerment that David gave to Solomon in front of the entire Israel when he was anointed as king again. Yeah, so it's amazing. I think the challenge that we have today is how are we empowering our own younger generation? Yeah. Are we willing to give everything like David and say, go, run? Yeah. Or are we holding back quite a lot of things instead of giving? That is, I believe, the challenge that we have today. Second one, I thought it was interesting. If you look at 1 Chronicles 28:11-18, after he has prepared everything, he just said to Solomon, this is the plan, go run with it, more or less. Yeah. And today, are we willing to give that kind of space and shape, space to shape and lead for the young emerging generation? That's a question that we have to ask ourselves. Or are we standing behind like a helicopter, flying around them, telling, okay, you do this, you do this, you do this, or are we allowing them to explore, to find out how their own leadership style is, how they can influence, how they can change? You know, 3,000 years ago, David did that with Solomon. He prepared and he said, now you run. So are we willing to do the same? I think that's the next challenge that we have. Are we willing to empower the emerging generation? The third one, interceding. David prayed for Solomon. And if you look at 1 Chronicles 29:19, yeah, it goes something like this. Grant to Solomon, my son, and a whole heart that he may keep your commandments, your testimonies, and your statutes, performing all, and that he may build the palace for which I have made provision. So David prayed for Solomon publicly as well. Not only anointing him, not only empowering him, he prayed. Today, friends, as an experienced generation, what is the easiest thing for us to do? is actually to intercede and pray. Now, you know, a lot of things we may need training. The one thing that we require the least training is actually praying. We just have to go down on our knees, look to the Lord, and speak to Him. Some of you have actually may have watched this movie called War Room. A couple of months back, as an LG, we decided to watch this together. I think this is a very powerful movie to watch on how do you intercede for others. And how do we intercede now for the younger generation? I would think one thing we need to consistently pray for the younger generation is that the consistent intimacy with God. When their walk is with God is correct, everything else will fall in place in a way that will continue to bless them. Accountability to God. Some of the things that I've seen is the younger generation, because of the lifestyle is much easier, or maybe because the influence that they go through is much more bigger than what we are. Because of the social media, the digital age, I think in 1 minute, maybe they have 10 times higher the impact of information, knowledge, and also good and bad influence more than what I had when I was growing up. So as a result, their challenges are bigger. So I think the one part we also need to pray is the accountability to God. And they continue to be set apart to be holy, and whatever blessings that comes in our heart, pronounce that blessing in prayer to them. This generation needs a lot of blessing. Now, allow me to end this slide before I go to the next one with a personal testimony. Back in 2013, I was bound to go to Bangladesh, but somehow or other got rerouted to come to Malaysia to take over from my boss who was retiring the entire organization. And I was transitioning from a, say if you may, emerging leader to an experienced leader taking over the entire organization. And one of the biggest challenges that I had is I've given 6 months to turn around the place, or I have to look at closing up the factory. Yeah. So when I took over, I had 34, if you may, lieutenants and generals that were reporting to me as a team, and they were half young and half experienced. And we used to hire only the cream de la cream in our organization. And individually, they are the best in their respective fields, but as a team, they cannot function. So we decided to ask somebody to help us come together as a team. So my end in mind was make sure that the last day, everyone comes together, huddle up and cry. That's all I was looking at. So I actually got someone recommended me, Dato' Lawrence Chan. Some of you may know him as a very aged trainer and who's been in the field for very long. So I actually got him to train us and pull us together. So we were in Port Dickson. So the first night, while we were having dinner, I had a chance to sit down and talk to him. And I told him all the challenges that I'm going through. So he just gave me one advice. He said, "Brother, pray for your team every day, every one of them, and pray for their successes. And all things will fall in place and you will see the success coming." And friends, that was the best advice I had on interceding for teams and interceding for emerging generations. Started praying for them. And within less than 6 months, we turned around the place and we were one of the best manufacturing sites for the next couple of years. So, you know, my own testimony, all I can share with you, when we start praying, when we start interceding for the younger generation, they truly grow because our word to the Lord will strengthen them. Yeah? My last slide. What can we do? How can we activate today as an experienced generation? That's the question that I think we need to reflect. And I think we got to start thinking how we can actually do things differently. Now, I'd like to leave with you with three thoughts. One is, we have a lot of experience. Now, if I were to say, as an argument sake, anyone above 30 as an emerging generation, even if you take your working experience or even if you take all your ministerial experience, this and that, there's few hundred years of experience even within this hall. And how do we offer our experience and testimony and share our walk with God is important. I love this Psalm 66. I would encourage that you read it because this entire Psalm talks about how do we actually walk with God and share our testimonies of what God done in our life with the people. Let me just read one verse from there. Verse 16. Come and hear, all who fear God, and I will tell what he has done for my soul. It's an amazing psalm. Please read it because it will give you the energy, the influence for you to offer our experience and testimony to the emerging generation. Two, steer together. We need to learn to work together and give space for accountability. Don't hold back accountability. Don't hold back empowerment, but steer together and allow them to explore and learn. Now, Psalm 27 verse 17 says, iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another. So friends, this is our challenge. How do we sharpen the emerging generation? Lastly, Ephesians from intercede with fervor and without ceasing. Pray every day. Pray for every picture of a young person that comes to your mind as we intercede, as we pray. Bless them. Give them space to grow. Allow them to intercede for them that they will have intimacy with God. Intercede for them that they will have accountability with God. Pronounce blessing on them. Yeah, I took from Ephesians 6:18, one portion of the armor of God. It says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So we are called to pray every day and intercede for the emerging generation. Let me close with prayer. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you that you have made this church a church of generation. And just want to thank you that you've put the burden in our heart, the need for us to continue to work together on your mission as a generation, Lord. Lord, I just want to pray that you will bless each one of us today, that the experienced generation will be willing to share, willing to work, and willing to impart everything that you've put in their hearts and continue to pray for the emerging generation. Likewise, let the emerging generation be willing to work together with the experienced generation, pulling on the experiences of the emerging generation, having the courage to move forward and willing to be empowered to do great things for you. We surrender all these generations into your hand. Shape us for your purpose alone. In Jesus' name we pray and ask. Amen.